This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
In the style of a tenor, but heavering here for Daft Punk. I want this to be in the style of tenor, but heavering here for Daft Punk.
Program is rated MALSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Finally, show with the balls and call it like it is. Rated R Safety Show on Safety FM.
Countdown to audio torture.
The Rated R Safety Show starts in 3, 2, 1.
Let the eardrum pain begin.
Forget the corporate bullshit. This is the Rated R Safety Show with your host, Dr. It doesn't matter who the host is.
Oh, you already know this, and so do I. It does not matter who the host is. It always has mattered who the listeners are. Anyways, today's Whip 'em Out Wednesday of January the 7th of 2026. And we don't count the days anymore because we've decided that, you know, 7 is where it gets a little difficult. And if we start going too far down the path, you know, the second month, it becomes a total torture rack as we are talking. So anyways, we are broadcasting from the Safety FM studios in Orlando, Florida, and coming across the multiverse known as Safety FM and then hanging out with our friends and colleagues over there.
Radio Big USA.
So always doing the stuff that we get to do as we're hanging out doing our thing here on Radio Big and Safety FM. It was, we are simulcasting inside of that multiverse of ours. No doubt about that. So let's talk real quick. If you're new here, let me explain to you how we do the layout of our land. We talk about safety in the news and safety. That's just kind of how it goes through the whole process. The first hour is simulcast on safetyfm.com and radiobig.fm. And then we're also coming across a couple of video streamers because that's just kind of the way that we do the stuff as we are going through the whole process. Outside of that, then hours 2 and 3 are definitely on radiobig.fm. The first hour alone is on a podcast that we titled The Rated R Safety Show. You know, this is all part of the stuff that we're on. We're also included on iHeartRadio, Odyssey. Also, we're on, let's see, Live 365. If you can think of it and it streams, we're probably there. You can also do visual radio if you go to safetyfm.com/visual radio. I know, so creative in regards to some of the stuff that happens. So with that being said, why don't we do this? If you want to interact with the show, it's a simple process on doing so. Callinradio.com. We'll do the move in the group for you. That's callinradio.com. Once you get there, audio, video, and text messaging are the options that are readily available for you to kind of go through everything that we have disposable, because we're disposable teens. So we do all of that stuff, and then we're kind of ready to go. So if you're good with it, I'm good with it, and we can do all you want to do inside of there once you get there. So we do bring in some professional broadcasters from time to time, and they'll tell you the main stories of what's going on. Well, I shouldn't say main stories. They'll tell you the news stories. I'll come back in the middle of the show or so and give you the main story of what's happening inside of the world of the multiverse, and that's it. That's kind of how we do our whole kit and caboodle. Hour 2 and 3 are the hours are consistent of music, besides whatever little clippage I give you here at the very beginning. I know, kind of a lot of stuff to go over.
You came for the music, but stayed for the addiction. Just how we like it.
So that's how it goes through that. Yeah, well, welcome to morning radio. That's kind of how the whole thing works out and goes about and so on. So with that being said, I do have my friends from Feature Story News hanging out, ready to go, wanting to do all of the sequences as they do them. So let's go ahead and get you into the news right now.
Here is the news on the Rosie and R Safety Show.
From Feature Story News in the UK, I'm John Beaver. The White House says President Donald Trump is discussing ways to seize Greenland, including using the US military. It comes despite objections from NATO leaders, Denmark and Greenland. Nick Harper reports from Washington.
In a statement, the White House said that President Trump was discussing a range of options in order to take Greenland. The statement said that he had made it well known that acquiring Greenland is a national security priority of the United States, and added that using the US military is always an option at the Commander-in-Chief's disposal. The latest statement will undoubtedly worry not just Greenland and Denmark, but allies in Europe, again stirring fears that after Venezuela, Greenland could be the US's next target.
Rufus Gifford, who was an ambassador to Denmark under Barack Obama, has said that the claims Greenland is a national security priority for the US don't add up.
The whole point of NATO was an all-for-one, one-for-all kind of approach here. So the idea that we need Greenland for our national security to defend against some foreign power that is unarticulated, it doesn't make sense.
Volodymyr Zelensky's praised European post-war security guarantees for Ukraine as very concrete. In the event of peace with Russia, British and French troops would help Kyiv defend itself from future attack and train its military. But the Ukrainian president says other issues in the peace negotiations, including territory, remain open. Military analyst Matthew Saville says despite the guarantees, an end to the fighting isn't necessarily more likely.
If we don't get to a ceasefire, then this just remains a paper exercise. And so there is a lot of pressure on the US to effectively make this a condition of the deal that they are, if you like, negotiating above Ukraine's heads.
China has imposed controls on exports to Japan that can be used for military purposes. The ban on so-called dual-use items is the latest move in an intensifying dispute between the Asian economies. Laura Westbrook reports from Hong Kong.
Dual-use items have both civilian and military applications and include rare earth elements which are essential for making drones and chips. The sweeping restrictions on these goods, services and technologies are effective immediately. Japan says it's protested the measures and demanded China withdraw them, calling the move absolutely unacceptable and deeply regrettable. Ties between Japan and China have deteriorated since Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi suggested Tokyo could take military action if Beijing attacked Taiwan. China claims Taiwan as its own to be taken by force if necessary. Laura Westbrook, Hong Kong.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN. And with more on our top story, here's FSN Spotlight with Simon Marks.
President Trump has upped the ante again over Greenland, the White House saying all options, including the military option, remain on the table for the Danish territory to be seized by the United States. It is hard to overstate the fury, shock and consternation that the latest White House statement is creating in Europe. And what's the mood in Greenland itself? Carsten Sommer is a former correspondent with KNR, the Greenlandic Broadcasting Corporation.
We are both shocked and angry and a little anxious looking out in the seas. Are there any American Navy ships approaching? Also about the lies of Trump. He talks about our waters are filled with Russian and Chinese ships. There are no Russian and Chinese ships up here. It's a total lie that he claims again and again, and uses as his idea of why he should take over Greenland. It's really hard to follow. People are very much against it.
Governments across Europe are also very much against it, but their message and the message of Greenland residents does not appear to be getting through. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
To recap the top stories, the White House says President Donald Trump is discussing ways to seize Greenland, including using the US military. Volodymyr Zelensky's praised European post-war security guarantees for Ukraine as very concrete. And China has imposed controls on the export of so-called dual-use items to Japan that could be used for military purposes. That's the latest Feature Story News. John Beaver reporting.
Listen to our host
of the Rated R Safety Show.
Self-implode on our airwaves. Only on Safety FM.
You ever hit the wall, burnout, stress, or just feeling that everything is piling up and thought, yeah, I probably need to talk to someone? The problem is finding the therapist who actually takes your insurance feels impossible at times. That's where Rula comes in. Rula is a healthcare company that makes mental health care easy to access and actually affordable. They partner with over 100 insurance plans, so the average copay is about $15 a session, sometimes even less. With Rula, you get matched with the right therapist for you, not just whoever's available. Their network has over 15,000 licensed professionals, and you can book an appointment as soon as tomorrow. No wait lists, no frustrations, just therapy that works with your schedule and your insurance. Thousands of people are already using Rula to get affordable, high-quality therapy that actually covered by insurance. Visit Rula.com/safetyfm to get started. After you sign up, you'll be asked how you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know that we sent you there. That's RULA.com/safetyfm. You deserve mental health care that works with you, not against your budget. Go to Rula.com/safetyfm right now to get started. That's RULA.com/safetyfm, because you deserve mental health care that works with you, not against your budget.
Ever catch yourself thinking, I could do this on my own? If you're a safety officer with real world skills, you don't have to wait for permission to build your freedom. On Saturday, January 31st, I'm hosting Safety Consultant 101, a free live workshop. In 2 hours, I'll help you package your expertise into a service clients will pay for and set pricing boundaries so you don't get stuck doing free advice forever. Register now at safetyconsultant101.com. Let's build your freedom.
You've seen the loop. You've felt the shift. The script doesn't fit anymore, and neither do you. Safety transmission. The collapse of the construct is the third and final signal in the trilogy from J. Allen, PhD. And this time, it's not about waking up. It's about what you do once you're awake. The system didn't break. It just stopped pretending to hold you. And now it's blinking, rebranding presence, packaging resistance, and calling it progress. This book isn't a guide. It's a transmission. It doesn't teach the system how to evolve. It shows you how to stop performing for it. You'll see what happens when awareness becomes responsibility, when audits don't listen, and when leadership becomes a loop. But if you've made it this far, you're not here to be managed. You're here to carry signal. Safety Transmission, The Collapse of the Construct. Now available in print, Kindle, and audiobook. Narrated by J. Allen, PhD. Because if it couldn't hold your signal, it was never real to begin with.
Radio. Okay, so here we go. 14 minutes past the top of the hour as you and I are hanging out on this lovely Whipabout Wednesday. No doubt about that. So let's get into some stuff right away because, you know, the world becomes more and more interesting the more times we get to discuss the stuff that is going on. So take a listen to this real quick. Flu season in the U.S. has blown past the normal and into historic territory, according to the new CDC data. All but four states are now reporting high or very high flu activity, and the doctor's visits are flu-like illnesses are on their highest level since 1997. Translation, this isn't just bad, it's record book bad. So far this season, an estimated 11 million Americans have gotten sick, 120,000 have been hospitalized, 5,000 people have died, including 9 children. Hospitalization rates are now the third highest for the point of the season since 2010. Nearly the entire county is lit up. And possibly part of the country as well, as I would imagine. And experts say that the worst may still be ahead. Yeah, this is not a joke. There is no real slowdown, which usually means the peak hasn't hit yet. Doctors say that newer flu strains known as strain K is a big culprit. It looks like they're different enough from the recent strains to dodge immunity. And it showed up after this year's flu shot formula was finalized. That means the current vaccines may only offer partial protection, but health officials are still urging people to get vaccinated to reduce the severe illness and hospital stays. One expert bluntly says, don't wait, get the shot now. So there you go. A lot of stuff to think about as we are talking. So do you do the flu shot? I know some people like it. Some people don't. Some people have questions about it. I always go, I don't know. I'm in some camp there, I would imagine, when it's all said and done. So what do you think? A lot of stuff to go about. That is for sure, though. So I don't know. Should you get it? Should you not get it? I'm not one to make medical decisions for anyone else. So you need to decide what is in your best interest on why you know, to do it or not do it. Okay, so let's continue talking about some news of the weird, because that is what we do around here. So I don't even know where let's start off with this one, because I just think it's kind of an interesting one. So take a listen to this. A catastrophic police mix-up led to two families to live the wrong nightmare for 3 weeks after a deadly car crash near England. Well, let me see. Rotherham, England. Officers mistakenly told one family that their son was alive in the hospital while telling the other that their child had died, when the reality was the exact opposite. The error came to light when a badly injured teenager woke up in the hospital and said, "I'm Trevor." That moment unraveled everything. Police had told the family of the 18-year-old Joshua Johnson that he was sedated and being treated in the hospital. In truth, let's just go through it. Joshua had died in the car crash scene. Meanwhile, the family of the 17-year-old Trevor Wynn had been mourning his death and preparing for his funeral and even raising money online, only to learn that he had been alive and hospitalized the entire time. The confusion happened because their surveying teen injuries were so severe that they couldn't identify him. And the two boys, both known as TJ, were said to look similar. Initial identification was wrong. Forensic testing later confirmed that the body believed to be Trevor was actually Joshua's. South Yorkshire Police admitted of the mistake, issued a formal apology, and referred to themselves as Independent Office of the Police Conduct, which is now investigating how such failure occurred. A senior police official acknowledged the additional trauma inflicted on both families and promise answers. The crash itself was already tragic. A Toyota left on the road hit a tree, killing Joshua and a 17-year-old girl. Trevor survived with critical injuries, and a third teen was hospitalized. Two people have since been arrested in connection with the crash and remain out on bail. So hold on real quick, because now I'm kind of confused. You had a guy that died. Then you had another guy that was confused with somebody else that was dead. Then you had a young lady that sounds like she passed away too. But the people hit a tree, but now there's somebody in connection with it? Like, were they playing chicken? I'm just asking the question because I don't understand how this would work. So kind of an interesting time here. So when you kind of go through that whole aspect of error is normal, what do you think here? I'm just kind of questioning some of this stuff. I always do. Anyways, as we're continuing with the story of the weird, take a listen to this. A fortune teller in Thailand was arrested after stealing a woman's iPhone just days after predicting that she would have bad luck and lose valuable possession. The victim, a 19-year-old Pim, encountered a shady issue. She was dressed as a fortune teller outside of a temple using a deck of cards, and the man later identified as a 38-year-old warned that the theft and misfortune were coming her way. He even offered to prevent it for a fee. She declined. Moments later, while Pim was praying inside of the temple, her iPhone vanished. She immediately suspected the fortune teller and confronted him. He denied stealing it, and then he had the nerve to claim that the theft was merely provided his prediction was accurate, even describing of what thief would look like. Bystanders stepped in, searched his belongings, and found Pim's phone hidden in a face mask box. Of course, the fortune teller then begged her not to press charges, saying that he needed the money and it was his first offense. Pim called the police anyways, exposing the scam and preventing future victims. So that wasn't fortune telling. That's his foreshadowing with his pockets is what it sounds like for sure. So I don't know. A lot of stuff going on right there. So as we continue in some of the stories of the weird, because we do that from time to time, a 42-year-old Italian man, after his affair blew up at a restaurant, posted a promotional TikTok video that happened to feature him dining with another woman, not his wife. The problem? He had told his wife that he was at a business dinner with colleagues and said that she was stumbling across the video herself or had it sent to her, saw her husband cozying up with someone else, and then used the clip as proof of infidelity. The marriage promptly collapsed, and then she kicked him out. And now the man is suing the restaurant for invasion of privacy, claiming that he never consented to being filmed or posted online. He's being represented by Cadacons, an Italian consumer protection group, which argues that the restaurant was wrong to record customers and publish the footage without clear permission, especially that led to an unpredictable consequences like marriage imploding. They're also seeking damages and may involve Italy Data Protection Authority, turning what started as a social media promo into a potential serious legal case about privacy and marketing practices. So here's the question I have for you. Do you think this is karma for a guy cheating, or how many of you side with the husband in regards to this? I'm just asking the question because it becomes a very interesting one. So if somebody's filming inside of a restaurant, do they need your consent to be able to post it? It becomes one of those really, 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 really weird ones. So let's talk about this one, because this one was making the cycles here just a hot minute ago. Former NFL offensive lineman Matt Kelly has filed a lawsuit against his ex-wife, Haley Kelly, after her viral podcast comments about the size of his manhood blew up online. Haley, a model and a social media person, I guess, because do you call them influencers? I don't even know what the hell you call them anymore. Social media influencer, let's just say that, claimed that their marriage ended largely because intimacy issues, describing Kelly's proportion in a very public, very specific terms that quickly took on a life of their own. Comments that it triggered unwanted attention and crossed serious privacy lines that led to harassment of his current wife, model Kelanius Amis. The lawsuit accuses Haley of invasion of privacy and unjust enrichment, arguing that she benefited financially from the surge in attention while he dealt with the fallout. He's asking for damages exceeding $75,000 in a jury trial. The situation has sparked a backlash online, with many saying that Haley overshadowed private marital details, while others treated it like the story of a late night punchline factory. Now it's headed from podcast to comment section straight to the courtroom. So Matt Cowell spent years blocking NFL edge rushers. Turns out that the toughest hit came from a podcast mic. And somewhere the judge is thinking, I went to law school for this. This story is more than inches than a Home Depot lumber aisle, so there you go. Also, a man retired from football but can't retire from measurements. I mean, there you go. And also, an NDA were invented. And then why were our microphones so dangerous? I mean, that is one of those things that people need to talk about. And this might be the only case where the jury asks for a ruler and a stiff drink. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of one of these weird things. Like, how does this even become part of a commentary? That's number one. And number two, how does this even become news stories? What have we gotten into?
Listen at your own risk. Rated R Safety Show.
Okay, so let's get into some other stuff as well. Take a listen to this, a YouTube video titled Fire Police 10 Hours Full HD, which is exactly what it sounds like. 10 hours of interrupted or uninterrupted hours of crackling fireplace has quietly become one of the most profitable low effort uploads in platform history. Posted in 2016, the video has racked up 157 million views and an estimated to have generated more than $1 million in ad revenue over the past decade. The wild part, this is the only video on the channel. No thumbnail grind, no uploads every Tuesday, just fire forever. The channel one and done success sparked a debate over who actually gets ad money, since YouTube now requires multiple uploads for partner eligibility, but that rule didn't exist when the video was monetized. Either way, the clips of massive popularity proves the huge audience for background content meant to be ignored rather than to be watched. So there you go. The fireplace worked harder than most influencers. Apparently not as hard as the last news story, but we'll leave that for a different commentary. And then The most successful creator on YouTube might be a log. Just some stuff to think about as we are talking. Let's talk about some other stuff, because there's always things to go through. ESPN supercomputer has crunched 10,000 simulations that says the Seattle Seahawks are the clear favorites to win Super Bowl LX, according to Football Power Index. Seattle owns a commanding 20% chance to hoist the Vince Lombardi Trophy next month, well ahead of the pack. Chasing them are the Denver Broncos at 14%, followed by the Los Angeles Rams at 13.8%, making it the huge year for the NFC West with two teams on the top three. The Seahawks also dominated the road to the big game with a hefty 58.4% chance of reaching the conference championship. The reigning champs, the Philadelphia Eagles, aren't being crowned again just yet, but still have an 8% chance to repeat. The New England Patriots sit at 6.3% despite the 14-3 season and open the postseason against the Chargers. Meanwhile, the Carolina Panthers made the playoff against the odds, but the computer gives it just 0.6% chance to go all the way. Hey, miracles are rare for a reason. So there you go. Notably absent was the playoffs with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens, both staying home this January. So there you go. I mean, I think we have simulations for simulations of simulations is what it sounds like from time to time as we are talking. So there you go. Anyways, callinradio.com. I got something for you. In a TikTok video, a woman said this: your job as a man is to make sure she doesn't need a man for anything. So here's my question. If you want to go to callinradio.com, what do you think about what she said? Really? That's the guy's job. So is that it? Seriously, I would love to hear your commentary on that. Callinradio.com. Go ahead, leave your messages there, and then we'll just leave it from there. So there you go. So that's it. That's it for that one, for sure. I guess I should get into some serious stories for a moment. Take a listen to this. U.S. law enforcement deaths hit a historic low in 2025. According to the National Law Enforcement Office, Memorial Fund, 111 officers died in the line of duty. That's the fewest since 1943, back when World War II was a kind of a big discretion. The group says its drop is likely to the better training, smarter safety practices, and more focus on officers' mental and physical health. So what do you think here? I mean, don't get me wrong, this is great news. But 111 is still high. I mean, I always go back to the whole thing that I say all the time, is that imagine the impact of one person has in your life. Now times that against 111 and see how different the world is. See how that goes? It is one of those very interesting ones for sure. Take a listen to this one as we are going down the path as well. The Justice Department under Pam Bondi has now backed off the key claim the Trump administration had been pushing for months. The Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, was the leader of the real drug cartel called Cartel de los Soles. Prosecutors quietly dropped the language in a revised indictment after capturing Maduro, acknowledging the term isn't structured as a criminal organization as previously portrayed. So there you go. What do you think? Interesting stuff there, no doubt about that. Okay, take a listen to this one. Let's continue going down the path for sure, because we need to do that. A Detroit suburb has agreed to pay $3.25 million to settle a lawsuit brought by a family of Tamesha Beauchamp, a 20-year-old woman who was wrongfully declared dead at home, only to be discovered alive inside of a bag at a funeral home. Back in August of 2020, let's see, Tamesha, who had cerebral palsy, was struggling to breathe when her family called 911. Southfield paramedics attempted to do a resuscitation and then consulted a doctor over the phone who declared her dead without ever coming to the scene. Hours later, when the funeral home staff unzipped the body bag, Tamesha was gasping for air and opened her eyes. She was rushed to a hospital, but the damage was done. She never recovered and died 2 months later. According to a medical expert cited by the family's attorney, she likely would have survived if she had been taken to the hospital immediately instead of being pronounced dead. The city of Southfield initially fought the lawsuit and succeeded in getting it dismissed under governmental immunity. The ruling was overturned by Michigan Court of Appeals in 2024, reopening of the case ultimately leading to the settlement. City officials' acknowledgments that the tragedy in a statement, citing that difficult conditions of COVID pandemic, while the fire chief previously had a suggestion there that the indictment may have involved Lazarus syndrome, a rare phenomenon where signs of life return after failed resuscitation. So what do you think? It becomes an interesting one. I'm sure this will be one of those cases, even though it is settled, people will still continue to discuss it because they're going to go like, hey, you know, this is a little different. This is not something you hear every day. So that's going to be one of those weird ones that we're definitely going to have an opportunity to talk about. If not now, I'm sure we'll talk about it in the near future. Anyways, it is currently 32 minutes past the top of the hour. I think we need to do that thing that we call our main story.
Here is our main story on the Rated R Safety Show.
So let's go into it, because there's always stuff to talk about. There's always stuff to discuss. And I look at it and I go, how are we going to get into this? And we're going to get into it by talking extremely slowly. We're going to talk about this, about going into everything you want to talk about. You know, there's that phrase that gets thrown around a lot in safety circles. It goes like this. It sounds responsible. It definitely sounds mature. And it definitely sounds like leadership. And what is that phrase you might be asking yourself? We just want people to follow the procedure. You know, we just want people to follow the procedure. Now, on the surface, that sounds reasonable. I don't think it sounds unreasonable at all. I mean, why would we want people, wouldn't want people to follow the procedure? I mean, that's the question. But here's the uncomfortable part that nobody wants to talk about. Most organizations don't actually want procedures followed. They want the results delivered. And they want plausible deniability when things go wrong. So let's sit with that for just a moment, because I think you are going to have to go down a little bit more of a rabbit hole to have the discussion. Because if organizations truly wanted procedures followed, we see very different systems. That's kind of the thing that we had to talk about. We see procedures that actually match how the work is done, are written by the people doing the work, of course, that being essential, are updated when reality changes, and are treated like living tools, not legal shields. No, seriously. But that's not what usually happens now, is it? I mean, that's the thing to talk about. Instead, procedures become something like, something else, like an entity. They become something entirely different. It's like its own little thing. They become evidence, not guidance, not support, it's just evidence. Well, this is how we told them to do it. Evidence that the organization can point to after something goes wrong. Well, the procedure was here. The procedure was there. And that's where the story always breaks, because the next sentence is almost always, why didn't they follow it? And now, without ever saying it out loud, of course, we've quietly shifted the conversation from system performance to individual failure. So let me tell you a brief story, because I feel like telling stories this morning. I was involved once in a review about an accident that occurred during a routine task. Nothing exotic, nothing extreme, of course. The procedure existed. It was thick. It was definitely a thick procedure. It was signed and it was approved. And absolutely no one followed it as written, because it was impossible to follow. Not because they were reckless and not because people were lazy, but because if they did follow it, the job wouldn't get done. You know you have procedures inside your workplace like that. Deadlines would be missed, production would stall, and leadership would be asking the very uncomfortable questions. So workers did what workers always do. They adapted. They created shortcuts, not out of ignorance, but out of necessity. They balanced risks, not because they wanted to, but because the system forced them to do that. And here's the important part. Management knew this the whole time. It wasn't like this was some big surprise. They knew how the work actually happened. They'd seen it. They benefited from it, because that's normally what happens. But once an incident occurred, suddenly everything kind of changed. The procedure mattered again. Now it was sacred. It was the testament of testaments. Now it was unquestionable that it needed to be followed. Now it was a measuring stick of everything that needed to be done. And the workers, well, they became a variable that needed correction. It was that variability of them. It was like, well, we need to correct this here. Where'd they go with this? And that's not the retrospective obedience here. That's what you have to look at. This is why we always demand compliance after something goes wrong. Before that, we quietly reward deviation as long as the outcomes look good. I mean, let's just be realistic. That's what happens. And that's a contradiction where safety programs quietly fail. Because when you tell people, follow the procedure, but reward them for something entirely different that they're not following, and then getting it done no matter what is a term that you hear and they're requested and required to do, that becomes an issue. You're not managing safety then. You're managing manufacturing risk is really what it boils down to. I mean, let's just talk about this for just a brief moment before I get back on track here. But when you start talking about organizations that do like car recalls, they go, what is the issue that we have? What is the what are the amount of chances that we're going to have this as a failure? And does the recall outweigh the amount of money that we would have to settle things for? So imagine that for a moment on how people would think, on how people would go back into that story. So let me go back into the deeper issue here that most people miss. Procedures are often written to describe work as imagined, not as work as performed. You know, black line, blue line. We talk about that quite often. Work as imagined lives in conference rooms. Work as performed lives in time pressure, resource constraints, fatigue, and completing goals. And when those two don't match, the procedure loses authority. Not because workers don't care, but because reality always wins. Every time. So the real question isn't, why didn't they follow the procedure? The real questions are, why was the procedure impossible to follow? What trade-offs did the workers have to manage? What pressures made deviation the rational choice? And why did the system require adaptation, just the function? Those are the questions that are uncomfortable, because they don't really point at a person. They point at us, at leadership, at design, at incentives, at priorities. And that's why we avoid them, because it's much easier to retrain, re-sign, re-discipline than to redesign. And here's the part I want you to really think about today. If your safety program only works when people follow procedures perfectly, then your safety program is fragile by design. Remember, humans adapt, systems drift, and conditions change. Safety isn't the absence of deviation, so let's just make sure that we understand that. Safety is the system's ability to handle deviations without breaking. So maybe, just maybe, the goal shouldn't be blind compliance. Maybe the goal should be understanding how work actually gets done and designing systems that support that reality. Because the Nexus incident won't happen because someone ignored a rule. It will happen because the rule didn't fit the work. The system demanded efficiency over consistency. And adaptation was the only option left. And when that happens, you'll have a choice. You can ask, who didn't follow the procedure? Or you can ask, why did the procedure stop making sense? One of those questions protects the organization. The other actually matters and will make the workplace safer. And that's the choice. That's not on the worker. If anything, that's on us.
Oops, what did he just say?
We at Safety FM don't always agree with the viewpoints of our hosts and guests.
Now back to real safety talk on Safety FM.
Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the home of real safety talk.
You're listening to Safety FM. We'll be right back.
It's always amazing to me on how technology changes, and so does the environment that we're in. And cyber criminals will do everything they can to take advantage of a system. If you don't own a home, you have nothing to fear about what I'm about to tell you. But if you own a home like me and you don't guard it with Home Title Lock, you're inviting home title fraud, one of the fastest growing crimes. Cyber thieves around the world know our home values are sky high at the moment, and that makes us a target. The crime is scary simple. Let me explain it to you real quick. A cyber thief simply forges your name on a property sale form and refiles it. That's it. Now he or she is on the deed of your home and you have no idea that you're a victim. Then the person takes out a loan on your home and vanishes, leaving you to prove to the police that you didn't commit bank fraud. Home Title Locks puts a virtual barrier around your home title. The instant they detect any kind of tampering or anybody messing around, they help shut it down. Look, if you have equity in your home, you need to guard it the best way that you can. Some people might even go as far as guarding it with their life. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you already are a victim. And enter the code RADIO. That's RADIO. That's the code RADIO for 30 days free of protection. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hacked? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety?
How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Pozel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
This portion of the show has been sponsored by Private Internet Access, America's number one virtual private network, or VPN. Even if you use incognito mode, internet service providers is storing your browser data and many times even selling it. But Private Internet Access, or PIA, can help you. PIA encrypts and reroutes your internet traffic through one of its own servers, hiding your data from your internet service provider or network admin. And with servers in over 75 countries, you can get unrestricted access to geo-blocked content from around the world. PIA comes with easy-to-use apps and browsers extension for all devices, a rock-solid privacy policy, open-source security, advanced customization settings, and it was just ranked the fastest VPN in the world by PC Magazine. And if you sign up right now with PIA, you can take advantage of a special deal only for Safety FM listeners. only by using the following link. You can get the digital privacy for less than $2 a month. Yes, you did hear me correctly. Less than $2 a month and an extra 4 months for free. So that means for only $1.98 a month and 83% off, you can get this service for you right now. That's so much more inexpensive than virtually every other VPN on the market. And if you get it right now, you can take PIA's 30-day risk-free challenge. You can try it out for 30 days, see if you like it, and if not, just return it for a full refund. So just go to safetyfm.com/VPN. That's safetyfm.com/VPN to try out the best VPN on the planet completely risk-free. Now remember, safetyfm.com/VPN.
Radio Big. Streaming 24/7 at radiobig.fm.
And even if you did, would you really want to meet him? Would you trust a guy who's smart enough to build a planet? Because I'm smart enough to know there's a snake.
Oh, yes, it's a fake world. No doubt about that. Okay. Currently, let's take a look. 45 minutes past the top of the hour. As you and I are hanging out here on the Rated R Safety Show. And you have the platform of choice on how exactly you want to do it. No doubt there. So there you go. It's a fake world. Hit it.
When you finally wake up, you're just in another dream. When you finally wake
up. Yeah, I like this one a lot.
Just in another dream. When you finally wake up.
Okay, so let me get out of this. Let's continue talking about some things going on inside of the world of the multiverse, because that is kind of what we do around here. If anything, let me tell you the most important thing that I will ever tell you in my lifetime, and that's about my friends at Terite Love on Our Arms. No matter what you're facing, you deserve to be connected to help, and the people at Terite Love on Our Arms want you to know that people have been where you are now and that healing is possible. To find out more information, all you have to do is go to TWLOHA.com. That's TWLOHA.com, and click on the section that says Find Help. Once you get there, you'll see information related to addiction, depression, anxiety, eating disorders, self-injury, suicide, trauma, grief support, just to name a few. That's TWLOHA.com to write love on her arms. So there you go. A lot of stuff going on inside of the world of the multiverse. So hopefully that will work out for you. Once you get there, you probably might go, this might not be information for me, but you never know on who might need assistance with some of that information. So keep that in mind as you are looking at their website. So there you go, TWLOHA.com. So I would encourage you strongly to go over there, take a look, and make a determination on what how it fits inside of your world and exactly how you might be able to help out other people with the information. Okay, so take a listen to this. I had somebody call the show with the following, and I want you to hear this, and then you kind of tell me what you think. It says, hi, I've been in a relationship for about 7 years. Nothing dramatic happened, no cheating, no abuse, just slow realization that this might not be it. Is leaving because something isn't right a valid reason, or am I being reckless? So I guess the question is, I guess the question that I'll ask, as you can hang out here on Colin at ColinRadio.com and you tell me what you think. It says, is leaving a relationship because something isn't right a valid reason? ColinRadio.com, let me know. I don't know if I should be giving out relationship advice, but it's something that we'll talk about because it doesn't make it interesting in regards of what is going on. That is for sure. So no doubt about that. Let me give you another news story real quick before we get some John Smalls inside of here. Take a listen to this. President Trump announced yesterday that he'd be selling Venezuela oil after invading the country with the money to be with the money to be personally controlled by him. It says, I am pleased to announce the interim authorities in Venezuela will be turning over between 30 to 50 million barrels of high quality sanctioned oil to the United States of America, announced Trump in the Truth Post Social. The oil will be sold at its market price, and they will be controlled by me as president of the United States of America to ensure that they are used to benefit people of Venezuela and the United States. A lot of stuff to think about on that one as you hear that. That is for sure. So make your comments. Callinradio.com might be the best place for that. Anyways, with that being said, let's bring in something a little bit more delightful for sure. And let's bring in some John Small and let him tell us about what in the hell is going on with the Motivation Minute. The
Motivation Minute. Today's quote was submitted by Troy. Crystal Evan Hurst said, don't delay making memories or sharing your life with your friends. Do what you can to live your life well with what you have. Excellent quote. This one hit me a little harder than it might have a few months ago. Back in November, I got a call from a friend. He told me he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He asked me to help him with a few things. He wanted me to keep some things moving forward after he's gone. He couldn't hear the tears welling up in my eyes. I tried to make sure I kept a strong voice as I told him that we could do this together. And I was literally praying for him to recover. And he said it was time. He passed away just before Christmas. Mid-50s. Way too young. So sad. I'm honoring his request to keep his spirit alive with the group he started. Folks, live while you can. This has been the Motivation Minute. I'm John Small. Thanks for listening. Your favorite motivational quotes can be submitted for upcoming programs at motivationminute.org.
Here is the news on the Rosenbauer Safety Show.
Venezuela's ousted leader, Nicolas Maduro, has faced an American judge in New York, beginning a high-stakes legal and diplomatic showdown.
Maduro entered a not guilty plea to U.S. drug trafficking and narco-terrorism charges, calling himself innocent and a decent man. Prosecutors accuse him of conspiring with traffickers to send large quantities of cocaine into the United States. His lawyers argue he should be immune as a foreign head of state, Lawrence Keller reporting.
At the United Nations in New York, America's decision to seize Maduro from Venezuela is drawing sharp words from both allies and rivals.
The UN Security Council has convened an emergency session to debate the weekend military operation that removed Maduro from power. Some countries are condemning the U.S. action as a dangerous precedent, while others are backing Washington's justification under anti-drug and human rights commitments. The meeting underscores deep global divisions over intervention. Kyle Norris reporting.
In Switzerland, investigators are working through the aftermath of a deadly New Year's bar fire that injured more than 100 people.
Swiss police say they have now identified all 116 people hurt when flames swept through a crowded celebration in a lakeside town. Officials are still determining exactly how the fire started and whether safety rules were followed inside the venue. Families of victims are gathering for memorials. Benjamin Wright reporting.
This is the latest news headlines.
The new session of Congress is opening under heavy strain with disputes over spending, war powers, and a looming shutdown threat.
Lawmakers return from recess facing a deadline at the end of the month to keep the federal government funded. Members in both parties are pressing for more oversight of President Trump's surprise Venezuela strike, including briefings on the legal basis and long-term plan. At the same time, negotiators are trying to advance bills on health care and affordability. Jessica Oakley reporting.
Across the United States, health officials are reporting a sharp spike in flu hospitalizations, with New York State seeing record weekly numbers.
State and local agencies say hospitals are admitting more patients with severe respiratory symptoms, particularly older adults and young children. Doctors are urging people to get vaccinated, seek treatment quickly if they develop high fever or trouble breathing, and stay home when sick. Liam White reporting.
From Southern California to the Northeast, powerful winter storms are bringing dangerous flooding, heavy snow, and bitter cold to millions.
Forecasters warn that saturated ground and rising rivers in parts of California could trigger mudslides and flash floods in burn areas and low-lying neighborhoods. In the Northeast, plows are working around the clock as drivers face icy roads, limited visibility, and sub-freezing wind chills. Emergency managers are opening warming centers, urging residents to check on vulnerable neighbors. Kevin Sanders reporting.
And that's the latest news headlines with Alan Edwards.
You are listening to something magical. You're listening to the Rated R Safety Show.
Okay, listening to something magical is always important. 54 minutes past the top of the hour as you and I are hanging out on this lovely Wednesday. Let's talk about some things that happened back on this date. Back in 1934, Flash Gordon, the comic strip, debuts on this day. Also in 1994, U.S. female figure skating champion won by Tanya Harding. 1994 was the dates when all of this occurred. Let's talk about some things that you might ought to know. So let's go through it here. Let's see. Tonight's Powerball will be for $105 million. Here's last night's winning Mega Million numbers. The jackpot was $180 million. It was 9, 39, 47, 58, 68, and the Mega Ball was 24. Take a listen to this. Michael Regan, the eldest son of former President Ronald Reagan. Did I say Regan? I meant Reagan. Ronald Reagan and actress Jane Wyndham died at home in Los Angeles on Sunday. His late father's foundation announced in a statement Reagan was 80, dedicated himself to upholding his father's legacy in his work and conservative author and radio talk show host. He spent much of his public life defending and promoting the Reagan administration, which was largely devoted to scaling back government's involvement in daily life and bringing the end of the Cold War. Also in some other news, John Harbaugh's 18 years run as the Baltimore Ravens has come to the end. The Ravens just announced they fired Harbaugh, concluding the reign of the winningest coach of the franchise history and second longest tenure among active NFL coaches. The decision comes in the aftermath of on Sunday's season-ending loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who recaptured the lead in the final minute and then watched as the Ravens rookie kicker Tyler Loop missed that and would have been a game-winning 44-yard field goal as time expired. The loss not only sealed the AFC North title for the Steelers, but also dropped Baltimore out of the playoffs with an 8-9 mark. Just the third losing season under Harbaugh's entire career. So there you go. And then last but not least, gangs of armed men on motorcycles are patrolling the streets in Caracas looking for supporters of Donald Trump and his military operation in Venezuela. With the support of at least one key government official, the Colectivos are a group of paramilitary militias that support the deposed leader Nicolas Maduro and have been searching for vehicle checkpoints. The bikers and many of them are masked and armed. So there you go. And have search phones and cars looking for evidence of people backing Trump's actions in Caracas as an unofficial tool of the state. So there you go. Anyways, if you need some other news, let me give you some words of wisdom for today. Always be the first-rate version of yourself instead of the second-rate version of somebody else. So there you go. Anyway, so here's how it's going to go. At the top of the hour, I'll be going over to RadioBig.fm. If you want to come and hang out with me for the next couple hours or so, you're more than welcome to. If you don't want to go over there and you want to stay here on Safety FM, you can hang out with the likes of Sheldon Primus as he talks about the world of safety consulting. So there you go. Some stuff there. Anyways, thank you for always being the best part of Safety FM and Radio Big, and that is the listener, because without you, it makes no sense to do what we do around here. If I can, I would leave you with some advice for today. I would love to leave you with this. To suck up hard to reach a gunk under your fridge or behind a bookshelf, insert an empty paper towel roll in at the end of the vacuum cleaner and then let it bend or flatten it to squeeze, and then you can get into those difficult spots. So there you go. Some useless knowledge for you for today. Anyways, I know who you are. You know who I am. Love you, mean it, and goodbye.
The views and opinions expressed during this broadcast, podcast, or radio show are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Safety FM and or Radio Big. The content discussed, including examples of analysis, is provided for illustrative purposes only. It should not be applied as the sole solution in real-world scenarios.
as it is based on limited and dated open source information. Any assumptions made during this broadcast, podcast, or radio show are not reflective of Safety FM and or Radio Big. No portion of this broadcast, podcast, or radio show may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic, mechanical, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of Safety FM and or Radio Big. For permission requests, please contact Safety FM or Radio Big directly.
Smart enough to build a planet, because I'm smart enough to know there's a snake.
This isn't a safety manual. It's a transmission. Jay Allen, PhD, host of the Rated R Safety Show and founder of Safety FM, has spent years pulling back the curtain on the systems we work in and the ones we don't talk about. What started as a fatal crash on the 405 became a search for truth. Through behavior-based safety, human and organizational performance, simulation theory, and everything in between. Safety, in my opinion, is raw, reflective, and real. From burnout to breakthroughs, from the matrix to the moment someone says, "This doesn't feel right." This book doesn't give you answers. It hands you the signal. Safety, in my opinion, available now. Wherever books and audiobooks are found. You've seen the loop. You've felt the shift. The script doesn't fit anymore, and neither do you. Safety transmission. The collapse of the construct is the third and final signal in the trilogy from Jay Allen, PhD. And this time, it's not about waking up. It's about what you do once you're awake. The system didn't break. It just stopped pretending to hold you. And now it's blinking, rebranding presence, packaging resistance, and calling it progress. This book isn't a guide. It's a transmission. It doesn't teach the system how to evolve. It shows you how to stop performing for it. You'll see what happens when awareness becomes responsibility, when audits don't listen, and when leadership becomes a loop. But if you've made it this far, you're not here to be managed. You're here to carry signal. Safety transmission. The collapse of the construct. Now available in print, Kindle, and audiobook. Narrated by Jay Allen, PhD. Because if it couldn't hold your signal, it was never real to begin with.